Welcome to the Productivity Project podcast. I'm your host, Kat Hunter. I'm a mum, solo business owner, and I'm obsessed with helping you tap into the power of unconventional productivity to get hours back in your day, achieve your goals, and actually live the free and flexible life you started your business for. Feeling overwhelmed, juggling all the things, and like you never have enough time? This was me. Through harnessing a suite of beautifully simple, unconventional productivity skills, I went from feeling on 24/7, working all the time, and never feeling like I was getting anywhere, to working less, achieving my goals, and living a more fulfilling life with bucket loads of time. Join me for chats on creating a solo business owner life that's more easily productive, less stressful, and with more free time than you've ever had before. Hey, pals and gals, thanks for joining this week's episode of the Productivity Project. I am coming to you live again from my playroom floor. I am hiding in here, hiding from my cat. My children are in bed, and I just had to barricade myself from the cat that will not stop following me around. I love the cat, I love my family, but by this time of night, when it's, you know, the kids are in bed, it's dark outside, I've got my jammies on, I've got my snuggly cardi, I just don't want anyone else following me and pawing me and digging their claws into me. I just want to sit by myself and talk to you guys, which is what I'm doing. So poor kitty cat is sat outside the door now, clawing away, and you may hear her dulcet door scratching in the background. Anyway, speaking of following me around, that obviously doesn't include you guys. Thank you so much to those of you who have hit follow and subscribed on the podcast wherever you listen. If you haven't yet, just take a second now to tap that follow button or the subscribe button so that you don't miss future episodes of the podcast. And it also helps get the podcast out to like-minded people just like you who want to work a little better every single week and work when they want to work and not when they don't. So thank you for following along if you already have. If you haven't, just tap the button now. And I'm really excited about you guys joining the community here because it really is growing, which really warms my cockles. Last week's episode was all about confidence and how confidence is really, really important when it comes to the way we work and the way we're able to work, especially when we move from working in a corporate role or working for someone else to working for ourselves, working our own, you know, starting our own business, launching our own venture, and suddenly realizing that we are wearing all of these different hats that we never had to wear before and wondering why we are not able to work like we used to, or we feel like we can't concentrate like we used to concentrate or be able to focus like we could in our old role. Why is this? Why does this happen? We say, well, if that is you and you have been asking yourself the same question since you started your own business, go back to last week's episode and give it a listen. It's all about confidence and how improving your confidence. And there are three specific areas I talk about when it comes to confidence relating to productivity. How improving your confidence can really help you improve your focus and concentration and ultimately your productivity. So go back and give it a listen if you haven't already. Otherwise, this week's episode is a little bit different, guys. So this week, I actually wanted to share a challenge that I'm running mostly for myself, but I would love for you guys to play along with me and see how this changes things for you. So ever since I started researching productivity and exploring how productivity can really be used as a tool to help enhance and improve the way we work and not just, you know, as this vague notion of productivity being that we just churn and burn until we pass out at the end of the day and pack more and more and more into our days and, you know, basically work like a white corporate dude. I didn't just say that. Did she just say that? Anyway, switching up the idea of how we see productivity and the idea that productivity can actually be something that we use and harness and customize for ourselves to help us work better. That, and when I say work better, I mean be able to work when we want to, be able to get the things done that we want to do in the time that we want to do them. And also be able to free up our headspace and free up our brains, free up our time for the things that we want to do outside of work. For those things that we started our businesses to have more of. So more time with our kids, more presence with our family, more free time to focus on our health and wellness, more time to do nothing, more freedom, more flexibility, just more when it comes to our lifestyle. You know, productivity sounds really boring because of the way we've been conditioned to see it. So when we hear the word productivity, things might come up for us like working all the time, or, you know, starting at 7 and finishing at 7 or even later, or, you know, working as much as you can, getting as much as you can done as fast as you can, and, you know, that churning until you burn out, or burning the midnight oil, or whatever else the kids say these days. But it just isn't the way it was ever meant to be. Productivity is a really amazing tool that I have implemented in my own business and my own life, and the changes have been incredible. I honestly do not think I would be able to have the things I have in my life and do the things I do and structure my life the way that I have without using the principles of productivity that work for me. And that is not to say that I have this perfectly flowy life where flowy, for want of a better word, this perfect life where everything just flows and, you know, there's never any stress and, you know, I have abundant time all of the time, because nobody's life looks like that. But most of the time, I know that I am closer to living the life that I want to live and that I am living the life that I do because I've implemented the principles of productivity that work for me into the way I work and the way I live my life. So in saying that, I wanted to get quite specific with one factor that really heavily influences our capacity to work well when we want to work, and that is our focus and concentration. So focus and concentration is probably the most brought up area when it comes to productivity out of any other area that I talk about with my productivity clients. Our ability to focus and our ability to concentrate, it feels like it is on a collective downhill spiral. And I think that is something that has become really common across the board, and we are all at varying scales of that. So whether you are neurodivergent, whether you are exploring whether you're neurodivergent, whether you have just noticed that you don't really seem to be able to focus on something for maybe longer than 10 or 15 minutes without feeling a pull to do something else, or whether you've noticed that you feel like you are more interrupted throughout your day than you ever have been before. It might even be that you've noticed that when you pick up a book to read, you can't really read more than a page or two without getting distracted or picking up your phone. So whatever it is, it feels like for a lot of us and a lot of you, and myself included, our concentration and our focus is becoming harder and harder to harness when we want it. And concentration and focus is a really big factor when it comes to being able to work well when we want to be able to work. So if we get up in the morning and we have, say, a set work time when our kids are at school, or when our kids are, you know, with our in-laws for 2 hours of the day, and we know that we want to be able to work in that time. So there's already that added kind of time capacity stress for a lot of us, you know, and then couple that with sitting down and feeling scattered and not able to concentrate and feeling like we're not sure where to begin, or even if we are, if we do know where we want to begin, not being able to concentrate or focus, or feeling really distracted and looking at our phones a lot. it can be incredibly stressful. You might have thoughts like, I should just be able to do this. Why can't I concentrate? What's going on? Oh, I've only got an hour and a half to go now. Okay, now I've got an hour to go and I haven't done that thing that I wanted to do today. Or, you know, this thing's been on my list for ages and why can't I get it done? And it becomes a really big spiral that we find ourselves in because, number one, we have the lifestyle pressure of time capacity, which is becoming even more compromised now with the lifestyles we lead. And number two, we also have this factor of concentration and focus not feeling like it once was for us. You know, when I was younger, I remember I used to, when I was a teenager, I would get into bed at night and I would read a book and I would read for maybe like an hour or an hour and a half. And I just loved reading. I pored over pages. I was so excited to get into, especially if it was a really good book that I was enjoying, so excited to get into my book at the end of the day. And often I had to force myself to put my book down or, you know, turn the light out so that I would go to sleep. And I am in a very, very different stage of life now where when I fall into bed at the end of the day, normally I can probably stretch my eyes open for maybe about 3 or 4 pages before I rapidly conk out in pursuit of sweet, sweet sleep before I get awoken again, usually at about 2 or 3 a.m. So I'm aware that I'm in a very different stage of life, but the way my brain works now feels vastly different to the way I feel that it used to work. And you might feel the same too. This might resonate with you. So this brings me to the challenge that I am running for myself, but I am running it for anybody who wants to play along with me. I am challenging myself to use my smartphone differently, to dumb my smartphone down. So that I can evaluate the impact that this has on my ability to focus and concentrate. So often when we read about productivity, we read about concentration, the first thing that comes up is our smartphone or technology. You know, we are so distracted because we have all of this technology at our disposal and we are always on screens and everything we do is on a screen and it opens up a world of distraction. So we know that our phones are a problem when it comes to distraction, when it comes to interruption, when it comes to our ability to focus and concentrate. And there are a whole host of other impacts that our phone use has on us. And I'm not going to go into those in this episode, but for this episode and the purpose of this challenge, I'm going to be focusing on focus and concentration and the impact our smartphones have on our ability to be productive when we want to be. So you might be listening to this and thinking, I don't really have a problem with how I use my phone. I don't mind how much I use my phone. I feel like my concentration is fine. It's, you know, I'm sweet. And if that's the case, that's cool. You don't have to change something if it's not a problem for you. But for most of my clients, most of the clients I do work with from a productivity perspective, the first thing we talk about when I sit down with them for a one-on-one session is their focus and concentration. And then from that, the next thing we talk about is their phone. So our phones are kind of at this surface level of always being there. They're always in front of us. They're always with us. They're always making a noise. Even if you have them on silent, you know, they might vibrate or you might feel them vibrate even if they haven't vibrated. That's a thing. So for most of us, our phone usually interrupts us at some level, whether we want it to or not. And that interruption is kind of like, you can picture it as impactful as if, say, a colleague was standing beside you, tapping you on the shoulder every time you got into a task and saying, excuse me. And then, you know, you turn around and they'd be like, nothing, haha, and they'd run off. That is how our phones kind of impact and influence our flow and our concentration. So Start with asking yourself if your phone is actually a problem for you, or if you think it is, or even if you want to find out if how it's impacting you. You might not think it's a problem, but you might think, hey, I'm curious. I want to try something out to see how much this is actually impacting me. If that's you, I would love for you to play along with this challenge with me, because I just want pals to do it with as well. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm putting it out there. I'm being the guinea pig for you guys so that I can share my findings with you. And I'd love for you to join along with me. So if you're not sure whether you want to kind of go down this rabbit hole with me yet, I would suggest starting by just diving into like a few little resources around this topic. So if you want to listen to some podcasts or some audiobooks, I would search for Dr. Chatterjee, Dr. Ranjan Chatterjee. He's written a few audiobooks. He's also appeared on lots of different podcasts, and he has his own podcast. So listen to a few episodes from him, or guest episodes, or wherever you can find him. Normally he touches on this quite a bit and talks about, you know, the impact our phone is having on our lives, and that what kind of changes we can make that might help improve different aspects of our life. The book How to Break Up with Your Phone is pretty eye-opening. I can't remember who it's by, but if you Google How to Break Up with Your Phone, you will find it. I read that years and years ago, and it just made me want to throw my phone in the bin. And then, of course, I started using my phone again, and it all went out the window. But that is a really good place to start if you want to kind of explore what our phones and technology, the changes that they are making within our brains and the impact it is having on us. Another book that I would recommend is Indistractable. That book is a great deep dive into distraction. It centers quite a bit around technology and the influence technology has on how distracted we are and our ability to focus. And I would definitely suggest reading it, even if you don't think your phone is a problem, because I think we are all way more distracted than we have ever been. And I really, really liked the way he broke this topic down. I can't remember the author's name, but I know it was a male, hence the he. And also Leonie Dawson, who is a business owner. She's an online course creator. If you look up her Instagram profile, I think that's probably the easiest way to find her. She talks a lot about social media use, and she also stopped using social media for, I think it was about 2 years now. And that kind of exploring what she did really inspired me to make some changes the way I use social media in my life. And I really found what she talked about in relation to social media really helpful and kind of really insightful. So check her out as well. So before I go into what I'm going to do and how you can join, you can play along with me, I wanted to ask you a question. When you think about your phone use, most of us will kind of look at our screen time, right? So we'll pick up our phone, go into our settings and go screen time. Oh, it's about, you know, like my screen time is on average between 2.5 to 3.5 hours a day. And by day, I moonlight as a virtual assistant who primarily specializes in marketing and social media. So I do content creation for a living. For my day job, most of the day, I am doing some form of content creation. So that amount of screen time to me sounds relatively okay considering the type of work I do. However, beyond your screen time, there is another stat that you can check which might give you a little more insight in terms of what your phone is doing to your concentration and how much it is interrupting you. And that is it's called pickups. So it's how many times a day you pick up your phone. So when you are evaluating whether your phone is really impacting you and whether it's a problem, look at your screen time, but also look at your pickups, because I found when my screen time wasn't the overwhelming kind of nail in the coffin for me when it came to changing the way I wanted to use my phone, it was the pickups. The amount of times I pick up my phone a day is astonishing. It is those little 1 minute interruptions, 30 second interruptions, just the picking up when it pings and dings, or the picking up when it vibrates, or the picking up when I see the screen light up, picking up when I don't see any of those things, just picking it up and checking it for absolutely no reason. I don't know if you can relate to just picking your phone up, opening the screen, unlocking it and putting it back down again. So pickups for me are a bigger interruption than even, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to scroll for 10 minutes on Instagram and scrolling and then putting your phone down again. Picking up your phone, especially when it's unintentional, is a huge impact on your ability to concentrate and focus. And it can often feel like we are powerless to stop picking our phone up. So it can feel like it's compulsive or even verging on addictive. So I would encourage you to have a look at your stats, have a look at your screen time, have a look at your pickups. And if you are feeling shocked or overwhelmed by their stats, please don't use this as an opportunity to kind of beat yourself up and tell yourself how bad you are at concentrating or how bad you are at focusing. You are neither of those things. It is not about how good you are at being able to focus or how good you are at concentrating. We all have the same type of brain. At the end of the day, we all have the same type of brain, and our brains are designed to seek out pleasure, to seek out comfort, and to keep us safe. So your brain is doing its job. It is competing with a device that has been designed by thousands of expert designers, for want of a better word, to distract you and to keep you on this platform, to keep you on this device, to keep you using these apps. This is what this phone is designed to do. So when you feel like you are being distracted and you are powerless and you can't stop picking up your phone or whatever it is that you might feel, use that as a point of reflection and a point of observation. Look at it from an outsider's perspective, like you're looking at yourself through a window. That's a terrible analogy, but don't use it as an opportunity to beat yourself up or to feel bad about your concentration, because you and your brain is doing what it's supposed to do. And it is really, really, really hard to resist the design of a smartphone. So that's just the little disclaimer and the little mini pep talk that I wanted to include before I dive into this challenge. So my goal for this challenge is to evaluate what happens to my focus and concentration when I change the way I use my smartphone. So firstly, I want to actually cover what I am doing. So number one, I am setting myself daily no-fly zones. So my husband used to work at the airport. That's where I pulled that one from. Anyway, so I'm setting myself daily no-fly zones. So every single day, I am setting myself the hour after I wake up and also the hour while I'm getting dinner and while I'm having dinner with the kids. So I think it's about an hour and a half, actually. So it's probably between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. 2 hours. That's 2 hours, Kat. Do your maths. So 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. and then the hour after I wake up, which is usually 6:30 to 7 or 7:30 or whatever it is, I don't pick up my phone. I don't go on my phone. The exception in the morning is to check the weather before I dress my kids and I dress myself. That's the exception. So usually I would pick up my kids, I would come home, I would chat to them, I would make them a little snack bowl, and then I would go to the kitchen and start to get our dinner while they watch something on TV. But what I was finding is I would be using my phone the whole way through, the whole time I was getting dinner. So I'd be kind of like rustling up this meal and looking at my phone or posting a reel or half sharing a story for a client or doing catching up on something, and I wasn't present in what I was doing. Often I would take longer to make dinner because, and this is not about just getting dinner on the table, right? Like, this is about me wanting to make dinner for my family, me wanting to get dinner for my kids because I know that they're hungry coming home from childcare. I'm hungry. I want to eat. But feeling distracted and feeling pulled in by this device so that it kind of meant that I'm number one, I'm later getting dinner than I wanted to be. And number two, I'm not really present while I'm doing it. I'm not relaxing. I finished work and I already work from home. So I don't have that commute. I have to give myself a commute. I don't have that white space between finishing work and coming home. And even beyond that, I'm layering on my phone use while I'm cooking dinner so that I'm still not slowing my brain down. I'm still not transitioning my brain to doing something different, to looking at something that is not a screen, to concentrating on something that is in a different genre to what I've been doing all day. So I usually work from a computer. I sit at a laptop at a desk most of the day, and cooking is something different. It's something different that my brain can do, something I can do with my hands. But by pulling my phone into that time period, I'm just muddling that and kind of keeping my brain in this semi-distracted state. So setting daily no-fly zones is a change that I have made as the starting point of my challenge. So that'll be the hour after I wake up and then the 2 hours while I'm cooking dinner. If I can do more of that, great. But that's what I'm starting with. I think that is what is going to be achievable for me as a starting point. The second thing I'm doing is removing it from my space when possible. So having my phone on my desk, even if it's on Do Not Disturb, is a surefire way to ensure that it will be picked up. So having it in front of me is really, really problematic. And you guys have probably experienced this too. So removing it from my space, usually if I'm in a different room to where my phone is, I feel more relaxed and I can't even explain it. I feel more relaxed. I feel more present to whatever I'm doing. I feel more attentive to whoever I'm talking to. Even if it's not beside me, even if it's on the couch and I'm sitting on the couch, or if it's, you know, on the TV table and I'm sitting on our couch, it's just, it's there and I'm looking at it and I'm seeing the screen flash and I know it's there. When it's out of the room, it's out of sight, out of mind, and I feel definitely more relaxed. However, during the day, my children are in childcare. So if my kids get sick or something happens to them, the childcare need to be able to contact me. At the moment, my extended family also need to be able to contact me. So my dad is my mum's carer and I need to be able to be at the end of the phone for my parents if they need me. So I can't completely remove it from my space while I'm working or during the day. So what I am doing during the day is I am putting it on Do Not Disturb. I'm setting the ringer to loud, which sounds counterintuitive, but the reason I do this is because I have a favorites list set up. So while I've set my phone to Do Not Disturb, I have the setting, it's like a little tick box that you can check, which says allow calls from favorites. So I allow calls from favorites while my phone is on Do Not Disturb, and on my favorites list I have people like my husband, the kids' childcare, my parents, and other family members that I need to be able to be contacted by. And then I put my phone on the bookshelf behind my desk. So it's not out of the room because I need to be able to hear it. I need to be able to hear if somebody needs me, but it's not on my desk. And I do that for solid periods while I'm working. So it might be like an hour and a half, it might be 2 hours. And I check it periodically because obviously as a service provider by day, I need to be able to be in touch with clients at some point, but that doesn't mean I need to be in touch with clients all day. So that is the second thing I'm doing, removing it from my space when possible. So at nighttime, my aim is to get it out of my bedroom, but I haven't figured this one out yet because, again, I do need to be my parents' emergency contact most of the time. So what I've been doing up until now is putting my phone again on Do Not Disturb on loud so that my favorites can call me overnight. But I have also been considering, I heard a podcast on this the other day. The guest was talking about bringing back the landline, and I have been considering getting a landline that I only give to my close friends and my close family so that I can switch my phone off at a certain time each day and put it in another room and forget about it. And if I know that if someone needs me, the important people in my life will have my landline number. So I've been looking into that as an option. Landlines are actually surprisingly expensive. So the other option I've been looking at is getting a burner phone, like I'm a spy. So just getting like a cheap prepaid basic dumb phone without like smartphone capability. I think they have one at Coles now for something like $50 and it comes with like $30 credit. So I've been looking into that as well as another option. So again, I can turn my smartphone off and leave it somewhere else and just have my dumb phone next to my bed for people who really, really need to call me. So that's the second thing I'm doing. The third thing I'm doing is bringing back the old laptop when I need to do something. So I'm trying to use my laptop more when I actually need to do something. And why am I doing this? Why are you doing this, you might ask. So it might feel like, well, aren't you just switching from one screen to the other and what is the difference? But I notice, and I'm curious to see if you would notice this as well. Next time you want to pick up your phone to do something, if you want to do a task like, I don't know, check your internet banking, or you need to email somebody, or you might need to look up something online, or whatever it is that you want to do, instead of doing it on your phone, pick up your laptop or go to the closest computer that you have and use your laptop or computer to do the task or to do the thing that you were going to do. Because 9 times out of 10, interestingly, when I do this, I find that I just jump on, do the thing, and then jump off. Or I might have like a bit of a browse on like, I don't know, a news site or something. But it's not this rabbit warren of distraction and temptation and scrolling that my phone is. And I have noticed so many times, and you might have noticed this as well, I will think of something that I need to do, something that's, you know, legitimate that I need to do. So it might be I need to transfer someone money, or I need to email Rosie's daycare, or I need to text somebody about something. I pick up my phone to do it. 20 minutes later, I put my phone back down again, but I haven't done it. I've done something else. I've opened an Instagram notification, or I've opened another email, or I've texted somebody else, or I've, you know, gone on an online shopping site for some reason, even though I'm not shopping at the moment. It is inevitable that when I pick up my phone, I will always end up doing something else, either instead of or in addition to the original task that I intended to pick it up for. Whereas when I go and get my laptop purposely, or I go and sit down at a computer, generally I will do the thing that I have logged on to do. So that is the third thing I'm doing, using my laptop when I actually need to do something. Another thing I toyed with is the idea of deleting apps when I'm not using them. So things like Instagram and Facebook, deleting them when I'm no longer using them. But I did try doing this in the past, and I found that because of the nature of the work I do, it was more problematic than beneficial. So for example, when you delete Instagram, it actually deletes all of your Instagram drafts. So if you have reels in draft or content in draft and you delete the app, bye-bye content. So I found that keeping track of whether I had anything in draft across multiple clients' accounts was just too tricky and added to my mental load, and it made it a bit more stressful. So I have decided not to do that this time. I've decided to just implement my daily no-fly zones with my phone and removing it from my space when I can, and using my laptop when I need to do something. That's how I'm starting my challenge. I might give myself a little more or a little less to do depending on how it goes. So I'm going to give myself 30 days to do this challenge, because I think This is enough to establish any patterns or changes, and it's also short enough to give me confidence that I'll actually be able to stick to what I'm implementing. So I didn't want to say, you know, this is something I'm doing forever, or this is something I'm doing for 6 months, because I wanted to make it achievable for my brain and to give myself a realistic time frame. And I was also thinking of you guys when I set this too. I thought 30 days is a nice amount of time for everybody to kind of see how this changes their concentration and their focus, how this helps you when it comes to your ability to get the thing done that you want to do when you want to do it. So, how I'll be tracking this? I'll be tracking this in a very kind of mindful way, mindful evaluation, I'm going to call it. So I have three questions that I'm going to be asking myself every day, and I would love it if you guys would like to ask yourself these questions as well. So the three questions kind of center around this main idea or question of, what do you actually notice when you do reach for your phone? So it's all about just kind of, instead of it being 30 days of beating yourself up because you're picking up your phone again and, oh, you didn't, you know, move it into the other room this night, or, you know, you went on your phone during the time you said you weren't going to, and this is terrible and you're never going to stick to this. For 30 days, if nothing else, be mindful about how you feel and what you notice when you do reach for your phone. So the three questions I'm going to be asking myself are, why did I reach for it? So why did I pick it up? Was it because I wanted to do something, or was it a mindless pickup, or was it because I wanted to scroll for a little bit, or because I wanted to call someone, or, you know, why did I reach for it? What was I feeling at the time? What was I feeling when I did pick it up? So this might be less applicable when you actually pick it up to do something. It might be more when you're picking it up in those kind of mindless, I'm distracted, I'm bored, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm wanting to share something, or whatever it is. What do you feel when you're picking your phone up? And the third question is, what did I actually get out of using it? So it might be that you got something out of using it. It might be that you had a chat to a friend that you hadn't talked to for a while. It might be that you sent an email that you've been meaning to send for a while. Or it might be that you kind of did a bit of an oblivion scroll for 20 minutes and went down a rabbit warren while you were eating popcorn and reading an in-depth comment Facebook war. And you might feel like you either got some entertainment out of it, or you didn't really get too much out of it when it comes to what you were looking for at the time. So it might be that you pick your phone up at night because you want to relax, but after you've used your phone for half an hour or 45 minutes or however long it is, you don't really feel that relaxed. Or maybe you do. Who knows? This is all about being curious and really just evaluating what you're noticing when you are using your phone. So if you want to play along with me, if you'd like to do the challenge with me, and you would also like, as a bonus, to join the waitlist for my free mini course program, which is called the Bandwidth Blueprint, you can head to cathuntervA.com/waitlist, which will add you to my email list, which is where I'll be sharing everything I'm doing in the challenge, how I'm tracking, what I'm learning, and little extra exercises that you can do to play along with me. And it will also add you to the waitlist for my free mini course, which is my program for service providers and solo business owners to gain 5 hours of your week back without compromising your clients' cash or quality through the power of productivity. So jump on that if you want to play along and be part of everything that's coming up here. I'm excited. So until then, I will see you next week, guys. I've loved chatting to you. I hope you have a beautiful week.